Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And lots of drama going on right now in the AFC South. The Titans, one of their chief rivals in the Houston Texans, some trouble brewing with the quarterback, Deshaun Watson. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Brian Smith from the Houston Chronicle. Brian, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you joining us. And Brian, obviously some frustration boiling over between Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. Where do we think this all began? How long do we think this frustration has been boiling up for Deshaun Watson in this situation?
2018, 2017. I mean, you could go back to Deshaun Watson having to take a bus to Jacksonville, punctured lung, and the Texans making some bad decisions, and you know, you could trace this back to his rookie year, but really this goes back to the trade of DeAndre Hopkins, and there were issues before that, and I've been writing about this a ton for the last 5-6 years in the Houston Chronicle and the HoustonChronicle.com, but the nation woke up to the Texans' issues when DeAndre Hopkins was traded for peanuts. Bill O'Brien was still the coach. Bill O'Brien was the only head coach in the NFL with GM power outside of Bill Belichick. And the Texans went so far, you know, Bill Belichick doesn't have that title. He just owns the title because he had won 6 rings and he's the greatest coach of all time. The Texans gave Bill O'Brien that title officially. He went from basically a quasi-interim GM to the general manager of the Houston Texans. And one of his first big moves was to trade DeAndre Hopkins. And while that was going on, they had Jack Easterby, who was pried away from the Patriots after the Bob Kraft scandal. Jack Easterby was brought in, and the Texans have not been the same since Jack Easterby joined this organization. So there's a ton going on within all this. You're looking at an ownership group in the McNairs. They weren't perfect, to say the least, with Bob McNair, but they had stability. They had some level of respectability in the community, especially for being an expansion franchise. Now you have Cal McNair, who is inexperienced, who to the fans just does not know what he's doing. He went more than 2 years without holding a press conference. When he finally did, he wouldn't directly answer anything. Just didn't look like he really had a feel for an increasingly tense situation. And you put all that together, throw it in the dumpster fire, you know, add on more fuel, and then, oh, yeah, Deshaun Watson is so mad at you and so frustrated that he is on the verge. All he has to do is say it. He is on the verge of demanding a trade and forcing the Texans to move him.
So, Brian, is it salvageable in your view?
It is salvageable, potentially. Here's the thing. I just dealt with James Harden. Okay, this is much more of an NBA situation than an NFL situation. You don't see this in the NFL. I mean, I'm sure you can go back through history and find something somewhat comparable maybe 30 years ago. You don't see a team struggle for 20 years to find a franchise quarterback. Houston hasn't had a franchise quarterback since Warren Moon, you know, in 94 with the Oilers. Okay, so I mean, you have to go back 25 years. You finally find that guy. He doesn't have any off-the-field issues that have ever been reported. He's charismatic. He is truly the face of your franchise. He has the best year for a Houston quarterback since Warren Moon. And now the entire country knows that he's one sentence away from demanding a trade. And, oh, yeah, he just signed a 4-year, $156 million contract extension with you. And put together a career year after DeAndre Hopkins was traded and while losing key wide receivers throughout the season. So this does not happen in the NFL. This is more Anthony Davis, James Harden, an NBA type of situation. So is it salvageable? Theoretically, it should be salvageable. The Texans have to get down on two knees. They have to beg for forgiveness. They have to include Deshaun Watson. And then here's the irony of this. Probably the best way to salvage it, to fix it, is to hire Eric Bieniemy. The problem with that is that the Texans had no interest in Eric Bieniemy just a couple weeks ago. They could have interviewed him in person. they thought they were too good for him. They, you know, whatever it was, that whether they, you know, questioned how much of a true impact he had in Kansas City, is it Andy Reid, is it the offense, is it Patrick Mahomes, they did not want to even consider Eric Bieniemy for the head coaching job. They're only doing it now because Deshaun Watson is so bleeped off at them. So, yeah, it could be fixed, but nobody knows what's truly in Watson's head and how mad he really is. And we're gonna find out pretty soon. It's very simple. But he needs to put his name on it. He either needs to say, I want to be traded, or stop with the cryptic, you know, song lyric tweets and just fueling a media storm. You know, the only way it's truly salvageable is if Deshaun Watson cools down.
Brian T. Smith from the Houston Chronicle on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Brian, it's interesting you bring up the ownership part of this, because it reminds me of the Titans and what they were going through a few years ago. Nobody was really stepping up to being the face of the ownership group at that time, and every decision they made was just a bad one. And Joe and I were talking about this earlier in the show. Like, if you're a Houston Texans fan right now and you've seen DeAndre Hopkins get traded away, one of the best players in the league, and like you said, basically peanuts in return, if this ends up happening and Deshaun Watson is on his way out in Houston, how do you think this fan base responds? Like, I don't know how, like, if you could continue to be a fan of watching all this go down if you're a Houston Texans fan right now.
No, it's a great point. And I've covered the Titans and the Texans in Nashville many times, and I know what that stadium was like just 3 or 4 years ago, and the feeling that, you know, the Titans were stuck at 8-8 or worse than that. And they just, you know, and sifting through quarterbacks, and they just didn't have direction. The Texans will be 100 times worse than that in the immediately interim if they trade Deshaun Watson. Now, if you trade Deshaun Watson, which is a huge if because he hasn't demanded a trade yet, but if you trade Deshaun Watson and you can get a number one overall pick, and let's just say theoretically, and maybe it's a three-team trade, because I don't really, if I'm the Texans and I'm stupid enough to trade Deshaun Watson, I really don't want to trade him within the AFC South, right? You don't want to play this guy 2 to 3 times a year, and he's potentially knocking you out of the wild card game, and he's, you know, in the best way possible, foaming at the mouth to prove you wrong every time. So you would have to think they would at least be smart enough to trade him outside of the division. But if they end up doing that, the only way you could even sell it, and you really can't, is by getting a number one overall pick and drafting a Trevor Lawrence type, right? I mean, you'd immediately have to have somebody that you could potentially believe in and sell. But the problem is the Hopkins and the Bill O'Brien and all the dysfunction and, you know, Jack Easterby and all these other things. And you know, for the city of Houston, which has just been battered, I mean, it was a golden era for all three pro sports teams, Rockets, Astros, and Texans. The last 13, 14 months have just been catastrophic. And not even mentioning attain a World Series title by cheating. If you trade Deshaun Watson, there was like a protest rally of about 150 people, fans holding signs. You'll have 10, 20,000 outside of NRG Stadium the next day. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it and still expect fans to fill up your stadium. The problem is, the Texans have, whatever it is, football, Houston, as bad as the Texans have been, disappointing. They have a season ticket wait list still of about 30,000 people, and fans keep coming out for this team. So at some point, the fans, I mean, if they trade Watson, the fans are going to have to actually put their money where their mouth is and not show up and basically boycott this team if the Texans trade Watson and don't get a Trevor Lawrence, you know, type of situation back.
Yeah, Brian, you've mentioned Easterby a couple times, and it's just, it's interesting. He seems to be the focus of a lot of the fan ire out there. If he's such an issue, like, why is he so important to Cal McNair?
He somehow, I mean, it's straight out of Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings, Shakespeare. I mean, this is not an exaggeration. Jack Easterby, he's not just in Cal McNair's ear. He's on his shoulder. There was the old cartoon from like the 60s where you had the little devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder. That's Jack Easterby, but he's both of them. I mean, he's the devil and he's the angel. And on some level, it's unfair to Jack Easterby because he's a nice guy. And he's obviously, I'm joking, he's not the devil. But it's not just that there's smoke and then the fire is real. I mean, you have city blocks that are on fire, and you have star players that can't stand him. you know, people within the organization that haven't trusted him, not just in the last couple of months, since he walked in the building, and then all the national stories. So, you know, he's not a horrible person, but there's just been way too much, and any other organization, I've been saying this for months, would have moved on. You know, you would have done a buyout, you would have had him resign, he moves on, okay, it didn't work out, you get a ton of money, and we're quietly going to fix the situation. The only person in the NFL that would have and continues to stand by Jack Easterby this hard is Cal McNair, and he's on the verge of losing Deshaun Watson because of his devotion to Jack Easterby, and Jack Easterby can't win you a football game. He doesn't coach. He's not a GM. He's never laced up before. He wouldn't know how to put on shoulder pads. It just makes no sense except for the fact that this is what the Texans do.
Brian T. Smith from the Houston Chronicle on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian, last thing for you here. I mean, obviously, a lot of attention right now on Deshaun Watson. But what about J.J. Watt? What does the future look like for J.J. Watt with the Texans?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's another huge question mark for this organization. I will say this, and I've been saying this. You know, on some level, you can't say enough good things about J.J. Watt. And he's, you know, for the most part, as real as somebody can be at that level, you know, a local national superstar, you know, even with the injuries. That is J.J. Watt. But if J.J. Watt wants to win, wants to even reach the conference championship in the next 2 years, if J.J. Watt wants to theoretically win a Super Bowl, there's no better time for him to leave than right now. And you know, I'm not saying that I want it to happen, but I don't know how you're Watt and you watch all this and you were publicly frustrated. I mean, just steaming this season. Couldn't make it through a Zoom interview without the screen shaking. And you stick by this organization. Now, if they hire Eric Bieniemy and they salvage this and Deshaun Watson comes up publicly and says, you know what, you know, we're all moving past this and we're going to go, I still don't know how the Texans are better than 9-7, 10-6 for the next couple years because the roster's so thin and they don't have any salary cap space and all these things. So if you're J.J. Watt, if you're ever going to leave, now is the time to leave. And the thing is, you would have so much cover. The fans wouldn't be mad. The fans would understand. If he's going to do it, now's the time to do it.
Brian T. Smith from the Houston Chronicle has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexo. Brian, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and going to be very interesting to see how this plays out with Deshaun Watson.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Absolutely. And when we come back, we'll discuss that. Do we actually believe that the Texans are going to allow Deshaun Watson to be traded? And if they do, where could he end up? We'll discuss that when we come back. And make sure you're tuning in tonight from 4 to 6 p.m. for the offseason preview show as Jared Stillman and Teron Davenport break down the upcoming offseason for the Two-Tone Blue. Tonight's offseason preview show is brought to you by Corner Pub, Farm Bureau Health Plans, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, and Wholesale Inc. powered by RumbleOn.com. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This will be the biggest trade in NFL history. When you consider who Watson is, what he is, and where he is in his career, there has never been a trade as meaningful as this.
That was Mike Greenberg from ESPN talking about the situation brewing in Houston between Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. And Joe, it has gotten crazy, and it's interesting. We heard from Brian Smith in the last segment from the Houston Chronicle, just kind of detailing and going through how it's gotten to this point with Deshaun Watson and the Texans. And just from the ownership to Bill O'Brien being given the power that he was to the trade of DeAndre Hopkins, it has been a consistent mess in Houston for Deshaun Watson ever since he got there. Quite frankly, it's been incredible to see like the amount of success that they've actually had given all the dysfunction that we now know has been behind the scenes the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look, I mean, they've had some really good players, and again, I think Bill O'Brien's a good coach, and we know Deshaun Watson is a guy who, and I understand it's hard to say this after this year, he throws for 4,800 yards, they win four games, but usually that guy means a few wins a year that maybe you wouldn't have had otherwise. That just tells you how bad they were and how bad things have gotten for them. And really interesting stuff from Brian just on, you know, how it could possibly be salvaged. And, man, I hadn't even really thought about the entirety of Houston sports, but whew, yeah. what a mess that city, the sports scene in that city has had. And man, it would be real bad if this ends up that they give up watching. There's just nothing coming back that's going to replace what you have in that player.
Let's go to our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Do you believe the Texans will trade Deshaun Watson this offseason? 289 votes. 63% say yes. 37% say no. So the fans right now, Joe, feel like Deshaun Watson not going to be a member of the Houston Texans when next season begins.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely looks that way. So I guess I'm not surprised by those results, but I still do have a lot of hesitation on that. And I think Brian laid out some of it. And I agree with him too. Like, look, I look at this whole situation and it's hard not to be sympathetic to Deshaun Watson, certainly. But I also think, like, pretty soon here, you got to go ahead and talk to people too. I mean, there's certainly an obligation from ownership to speak to the fans, from coaches and, you know, college administrators, GMs. But also, when you're Deshaun Watson and you are the face of franchise and you are such an important figure in that town, the cryptic stuff at some point needs to make way for you to tell people exactly what's going on. And I don't know when exactly that is, but, I mean, I can see some frustration with him as this goes on and on and on. I mean, it's a totally different situation, but it also reminds me a little bit of weeks of wondering if Jeremy Pruitt is going to be fired or he's going to get a raise or what the heck is going on.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike texts in and asked, if it's been so bad in Houston, why did Watson just sign an extension with them? I'm not saying that it's not bad, but why do you sign an extension if that's the case? It's a good question. Money talks.
Well, I think Deshaun Watson, I mean, it seems like it's been good with him and his teammates, right? I think it looks, sure. It seems like it's been good with him and Houston. And again, this is where, I think Brian T. Smith brought up a good point. Like, this is not normal stuff in the NFL. It is more something you see in the NBA. I'm trying to think of the last time a quarterback was on a rookie deal, got offered a humongous second contract. He said, no, thanks. I'm going to leave. I mean, even Detroit Lions quarterbacks don't do that. It's just, it's not done. So, I mean, the Hopkins thing, as Brian laid out, that's like, whoa, what is going on here? And the Easterby thing is more of a recent issue that obviously has gotten worse and worse. And I feel like if Watson had been given the follow-up on what he was apparently told about having some kind of voice in the next GM, then maybe we wouldn't have a peep about all this and everything would be fine.
It is interesting though, like to Mike's point, you know, the Deshaun Watson, I mean, the DeAndre Hopkins trade had already happened when Deshaun Watson decided to sign his new deal. And you hear Brian Smith talking there about how that's really what kind of set him over the edge. I mean, things have been building up. That set him over the edge. And obviously we saw how it played out this year on the field. So if you're that mad about DeAndre Hopkins, it is. I mean, he signed a four-year, $160 million deal in September with the Texans, and DeAndre Hopkins was long gone before that.
Yeah. I mean, hey, listen, I'd love to sit here and tell someone to turn down a four-year, $160 million deal because you're mad about something, you know? Good luck with that. I mean, I feel like it's just not done in this league. And obviously there's a lot of things he still likes and has liked about playing there. I mean, he spoke shortly after that trade, and I know it's like, okay, yeah, what are you going to say? But it didn't seem to me like he was over the edge furious about it. But I don't know. 4 years, $160 million, man. Pretty good deal.
Yeah, not bad if you can get it. And let's operate under the assumption maybe Deshaun Watson is traded this offseason. What are some landing spots that make sense? I mean, we've talked about Miami. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports brought up the Jets the other day. But Keyshawn Johnson had a team that I think is very, very interesting in mind with some of his comments on Deshaun Watson. Here's what Keyshawn Johnson had to say.
I like San Francisco.
Give us the rationale.
I like Kyle Shanahan. I like their defense. They're going to get Bosa back.
Look at everybody.
Javon Kinlaw is a young up-and-comer on the defensive side of the ball that they drafted out of South Carolina a year ago. They're going to retool the secondary and get a shutdown corner to potentially replace Richard Sherman. The running game was there. You know what they want to do. And I just think that Seattle is there. The Rams got to figure some stuff out. Arizona's going to be Arizona. They may win one more game than they did this year. But that's a good division to be in.
So, I hear what Keyshawn's throwing out there, and the Niners are very intriguing to me. The question I would have is, all right, if you're trading Deshaun Watson, what are you getting back if you're Houston? And if what you're getting back is like Nick Bosa and a couple other players and some picks, does that change the way you view that if you're Deshaun Watson? Because remember, I mean, he's got to waive his no trade to go somewhere as well. So I wonder how attractive that landing spot would be for Deshaun Watson. And part of the reason he's talked about liking Miami, apparently, when you hear those reports, are no state income tax as well in Florida. So a lot of factors at play here. The Niners, from just a pure team perspective, would be very intriguing to me.
Yeah, speaking of that, like James Harden signed up for a massive cut into his bottom line.
Yes, he did.
By going to Jersey. So he really wanted out of there. But that's a good point. If you're Watson, it's like, wait a minute. You guys are trading how much for me? Now your team sucks. I don't want to go there now. Like Keyshawn's sitting there talking about Bosa and everything I've seen. And again, it's all hypothetical, but could also be based on some discussions, you know, with people in the organization, have Bosa, Garoppolo, and then multiple picks going back. So yeah, you got to think about how diminished the team you might be going to could be. And if you're Watson, you may also, we talked earlier on the show about the Lions. We talked, you know, and Stafford.
Being don't go.
Or the Jets. Maybe that's just for him, like, well, okay, I'll stay here. Never mind. It's basically fantasy football right now. Everybody trying to come up with these deals for him. But, I mean, hey, if I'm a GM in this league, unless I'm, I don't know, Kansas City's GM, I guess the Packers GM, Buffalo's GM, I'm at least placing a call.
Yeah. And you know, let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David in Murfreesboro brings up an interesting team as well. What about the Saints? Drew Brees looking like he's not going to be there next year. If you're the Saints, do you make that call for Deshaun Watson?
You got Jameis and Taysom. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
the Jameis Taysom combo is taking you all the way to the promised land. But no, in all seriousness, absolutely. I mean, now some of these teams you throw out there, they don't really have the assets,
right?
You know, to send back. But I think you've got to. I mean, Deshaun Watson is. I mean, to me, I'm blown away every time I watch a guy play. And I think he can still get better too. Like, I wouldn't take him over Patrick Mahomes right now, but I think he'd be my, like, if I'm just here, take any quarterback in the league and
you're building a franchise
for the duration of his career. I mean, to me, he's the number two pick after Mahomes.
I would agree.
So that's in this league. That says a lot, man. Everybody spends years and sometimes decades trying to find that guy.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. We'll get into the latest with the Nashville Predators with him and look ahead to the road trip coming up this weekend against the Dallas Stars. That's coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Preds road trip against Dallas coming up over the weekend. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man, Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, brought to you by Duncan, featuring their new location in Bellmede, and TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. Skillsy, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not much. Just trying to get through this world and through quarantine and get ready to go back and watch some hockey.
And I look, that's just the hand we're dealt nowadays in the world, and the Preds found that out firsthand the other night as well. The game against Carolina gets canceled after I thought the Preds played pretty well in that game in their only loss of the season. Skillsy, what stood out to you through the three games that the Preds have played, 2-1 so far on the season?
Yeah, just the compete. I think they're at another level of compete, grit, sandpaper. All the players that they brought in have really kind of raised the bar on competition-wise, their ability to get to the hard areas of the ice. And then I think it's also a mentality shift, and all the other players, are the skilled players, are doing the same thing. The guys that have been around have kind of said, hey, you know what, we got to play a different way. And so they're going to all the hard areas. And so I think the team game looks good defensively, and offensively it's working as well.
So, three games in, is this sustainable, Hal? I mean, is this what this team is in your view?
Well, that's the challenge. I do think it's been a little bit sloppy. I don't think they've been as clean on the exits as they'd like to be out of the zone. I don't think the entries through the neutral zone and the entries into the offensive zone have been exceptional. I think they've just been okay. So I think they can develop that part of their game and get a little cleaner. I mean, that's just to go with having been not playing for a while, but I think that's going to come around. I do think the challenge is going to be to maintain that edge, that piece of battle. But I think once it's in your mentality and it's in your DNA, it stays there. And so that's my hope for the team anyway. And I think that's a challenge on the guys, is to grind it out and to keep working. It's going to be a hard season, so I don't see it being a problem. I don't think it's going to be hard to generate emotion in these games.
Hal, we've talked to you before about Forsberg and what a great player he's been for the Predators since he's been here, but also recognizing, I think everybody feels there's another level for him to reach, and Forsberg's talked about that as well, and off to a great start. 3 goals in 3 games, he's been very noticeable in every zone. What do you think's gotten into him in terms of maybe a different way of approaching the game? What are you noticing out of Forsberg right now?
Just his ability to go to set his edge and attack. I feel like he's got a little bit more jam in his game, and I think when you play that way, when you play with a little on your edges, I think defensemen notice it and say, hey, whoa, I got to back off. I got to give him a little space. And what we've seen early on, you give Forsberg a little space, and he's not afraid to snipe from the outside. He's had 3 beautiful shots and 3 beautiful goals, and I think that's just part of his game. If he can challenge himself to continue to get into the hard areas, drive through and get into the house, get in front of the net, be a pest, and be fast through the neutral zone, I think he's just going to create more of those chances.
You know, it stinks, Hal. I mean, a lot of this whole thing stinks, of course. But, you know, to not really be able to, you know, be around the team, see some things that normally you'd see in a season. But from afar, it looks to me like Cousins is a guy who just changes, maybe brings just an edge that has been needed. What's your view of him? The talking, the grittiness, the willingness to mix it up a little bit. How has he done in that way, do you think? And how important do you think that might be for this team?
Yeah, that was a great signing, I think. And looking the way he plays, he's a guy that is going to go into the paint. He's going to get there. He's going to, you know, it's hard to call a penalty all the time. Every time the guy goes by and he bumps into the goalie a little bit, you know, it's like, it wasn't a penalty. It was just a little bump. He just dragged his foot, you know, his stick just tapped him. He's that kind of player, you know, and then the goalie gets upset. The D comes back and starts getting under his skin. And then he gets back under there. And then, next thing you know, there's something going on in front of the net, and it just gives guys on your team a little more time to make plays. And I think that's the kind of player he is. But he's also got a pretty good – I've been happy watching him play, you know, positionally, and he's got a little offensive upside. Great shot, you know, but I think his real strength is his ability to just kind of get in the dirty areas and be a pest, and that's hard to play against.
Preds Radio analyst Hal Gill on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Hal, Roman Josi's minutes on the penalty kill have been down to begin this season, obviously with Borowiecki and Benning coming into the fold, two very gifted penalty killers in their own right. As a former defenseman and having experience on the penalty kill, how difficult are those minutes to play, and what sort of a benefit could Roman see throughout the season if this continues to be the case and the Preds limit his action on the penalty kill a little bit more than they've done in recent years?
Yeah, they can be tough minutes. And you know, for me, that was my job, to go out there and kill penalties. For you want Roman Josi out there, certainly on the power play, but also 5-on-5. He needs to drive the bus and be the guy that pushes through the neutral zone. That's a lot of skating he's got to do. So easing to his penalty kill minutes, that's not to say you take him off it, because there is a certain level of pride that you get in killing penalties in certain points of the game. So I think you will see some ice there, but yeah, those minutes are big. If you can back him off there, that just gives him a little more pop through the neutral zone every other time that he heads up the ice. So I think that's big. I think those guys have done a good job. I think, you know, you're going to see a better penalty kill this year. Just personnel-wise, there's a lot of guys that are going to take a lot of pride in killing.
Hal, what do you think of how Duchesne has played so far, and what do you think of that line, and you know, how it might look once Granlund comes back soon here?
Duchesne is he's looked good. He's had a couple speed bursts, a couple plays that nifty around the net. You know, he's the kind of player that I always say he's got to have some wows to his game. And when he wows you and you look out and you go, whoa, that was a good play. That's the kind of player he is. He can do those things. He should have five of them a game. I think he's had, you know, three or four a game, and I think he's building to it. But I think he's been really effective. He had a beautiful goal. I think you're going to see more of that, where he's a pest in the offensive zone and can create plays off turnovers and go. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that. Who he's going to play with is going to be tough. I do think Granlund and Haula kind of make a good line, and I think they'll probably explore that. But it'll be interesting to see what clicks and how fast it clicks. There's not a lot of time here.
And then, Hal, the last thing for you, the other guy that we always talk about in terms of being the driver of the offense up the middle is Ryan Johansson. What have you thought of Johansson so far in that line as a whole alongside Forsberg and Arvidsson?
Yeah, that line's been awesome. But he looks light. You know, he's got some jump through the neutral zone. That whole line has looked good, you know, through the neutral zone. And usually they look good. You know, Joey's a big guy. He just gets down and protects the puck, and he's so good in the offensive zone. But I've been real impressed with the speed he's been going. They've been on the attack, and they've been able to make something happen through the neutral zone and then generate chances after that. So I've been really pleased with the way that line has looked, and especially Joey. I think if you give him that little speed burst that he has or seems to have early on, it changes his game, and it becomes much more of a weapon, not just lugging the puck and hanging on to it, but actually buzzing around and making plays.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Duncan, featuring their new location in Bellmead, and TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with five-star service. Hal, really appreciate you taking time to join us, my man. Great stuff.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hal Gill, one of the best in the business, and it is interesting. Like, you talk about a guy that's got a lot of experience on the penalty kill and playing those tough minutes. Hal Gill, very experienced in that area, and I've liked the approach of what I've seen so far from the Predators with Roman Josi. Now, I do think he'll continue to get time, and they'll get mixed in there a little bit more maybe as the season goes on, but especially early on, controlling those minutes a little bit, I think that's been a good approach from John Hines and his staff.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I totally agree with what Hal said there. I mean, if you can take that off, look at how great he was last year with everything on his plate. If you can feel great about taking that thing off his plate, What can that mean? What's the payoff there over the long term? I would think there would be one.
When we come back, some tough news for a team in the NHL yesterday regarding a former Nashville Predators coach and some issues dealing with COVID. We'll discuss that when we come back. And Preds fans, make sure you're tuning in on Wednesday nights for Smashville Live. The show will air every Wednesday during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. And something new this year, we're going virtual, so that means you can watch the show from the comforts of your own home via the 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. So make sure you're with us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. This hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. For more information, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, some big news yesterday coming out of the NHL and showing pretty how seriously they're taking everything going on with COVID-19 and their protocols. We're obviously already aware of the Stars and the start to their season. Carolina, their game against the Predators on Tuesday night was postponed. Well, the NHL announced yesterday that the Washington Capitals were fined $100,000 for violating the league's COVID-19 protocols. And it said in a statement yesterday, Capitals broke rules which involve social interactions among team members who were in close contact and not wearing face coverings. And it later came out that the four players involved in this were Alex Ovechkin, Evgeny Kuznetsov, Dmitry Orlov, and Ilya Samsonov. Were the players listed in the league's list of unavailable players. So really early in the season, already having some issues of compliance with some teams and their players. Apparently these four players got together in their hotel rooms and were unauthorized to do so and weren't wearing masks at the time. So a big mistake by Ovechkin and company for the Capitals, and now $100,000 fined from the Washington Capitals.
Not messing around, and Ovechkin's put out a statement apologizing. So, you know, good. I mean, take it seriously, please. And Borowiecki had some pretty strong statements on that.
He did. And Mark Borowiecki, a player for the Predators who's come in and done a great job so far, had some strong words about just the protocols yesterday and the responsibility that players have to their teammates when it comes to following the COVID-19 protocols. Here's what Preds defenseman Mark Borowiecki had to say.
I feel like collectively here, not just our team, but, you know, society as a whole, I think, you know, enough is enough. Not taking this seriously. And you're not just putting yourself at risk, you're putting other people at risk. You know, it's one thing to think that I'm going to be fine, I'm going to be healthy, but, you know, you don't realize the potential health risks and, you know, not to sound too shallow, but also the inconvenience for a lot of people. So, you know, in terms of being in a team environment, you know, you're not doing right by your teammates. You know, everyone's put so much effort into this, into getting back into game shape. You know, to go out and be irresponsible in any capacity and potentially, you know, affect someone else's season who's doing all the right things. You know, to me, that's just not being a good teammate or being a good person, plain and simple. So, you know, it's up to all of us in here to take some personal responsibility. You know, take ownership of yourself and your own daily habits and how you go about your business. And, you know, hopefully we can all put an end to this quicker.
And it was interesting. That's Mark Borowiecki, Preds defenseman. And he actually made those comments, Joe, yesterday before the news came out about Washington and the $100,000 fine and the players involved in the hotel room part of this discussion. So interesting timing there that right after Borowiecki says that, there's an issue in the league regarding four teammates on the Washington Capitals. But I thought some really strong words there from Preds defenseman Mark Borowiecki.
Yeah, good for him. You know, good for him. I mean, people got to take this seriously. I don't know, you know, at this point why anyone would need to even say that out loud, but they do. Few quick items related to this. We had a story at The Athletic from Demi Washington, Vanderbilt basketball player who opted out, and she's got myocarditis after having COVID-19. So, which is, again, is another reminder too, you know, this virus is still very, very young. I mean, people are still trying to figure it out, and clearly it affects some people differently than it affects others. So another reminder of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is going to continue to be something to monitor all season long here in the NHL. And I'm sure, hopefully, the Capitals will be the last team that have trouble with this part of it in terms of, you know, being in hotel rooms. I know some people on Twitter yesterday have reached out and said, all right, well, what's the difference between being in a hotel room with teammates, you know, guys that you're around all the time, and being on the bench with them playing in a hockey game in an indoor environment? And, look, I get it. I get why that would be a question that comes to mind. But it all comes back to, you know, discussions we had similarly in the NFL, Joe. Like, I had a problem at first with, you know, the NFL making this big deal about, you know, coaches wearing masks and not being able to trade right. jerseys at the end of the game. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was ridiculous. And really, the more that we've learned about the virus and the more, I guess, that we've seen it affect people in different ways, the more open I am to why not just take every precaution you can possibly take. I get it. They are on the bench with each other playing a game in an indoor environment, and that is different than playing a game like you're playing in the NFL with an outdoor stadium, and I understand that. But it's just the unnecessary risk factor of this, being in a teammate's hotel room, is why the NHL is going to crack down the way they're cracking down.
Yeah, I mean, it's just math. Like, just reduce the opportunities, you know? I mean, it's what it is. Reduce the opportunities, because you can test negative and have it. And we you know, all these things that we've kind of learned through the year. A couple other quick things before we end the show I wanted to get to, Robbie, real fast. One, pretty big game, Tennessee-UConn, renewal of that rivalry. Women's basketball, it is not what it used to be, but 6 o'clock on ESPN, that's a – you know, really interesting game, and you know, it's still a big deal in college basketball.
You talk about like so the smug coaches part of this. Where does Gino Auriemma rank in that?
Oh my goodness! Oh, and you know, he's quote gold. So like I tend to overlook it sometimes. It's like, my God, that guy says something. You know, interesting all the time. I mean, I've had my run-ins with Gino, by the way, which we don't have time to get into, over leaving Candace Parker off the 2016 Olympics team. But
humble brag.
I know. But he's totally smug and just unlikable. And Tennessee fans, I mean, that rivalry to me will always be bitter on the Tennessee side as long as he's on the other sideline. Another thing to mention, for people who didn't see it, Sarah Fuller – introducing new Vice President Kamala Harris last night during the inauguration. Pretty freaking cool for her and for Vanderbilt. So that was quite, you think about, you know, less than 2 months ago, she's a relatively anonymous soccer player at Vanderbilt, although, you know, she won an SEC championship and now right. part of an inauguration. Maybe this was all the conspiracy of, you know, Derek Mason from the start.
That was the end goal in mind.
Yeah, he had all these dudes who would have been a way better kicker, but he was like, you know what? I'm going to get fired and get someone on the inauguration. Maybe it was all one big conspiracy.
Incredible foresight by Derek Mason on that regard of things. Very well done by him. So breaking news in the NFL, this coming from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Former Washington football team quarterback Dwayne Haskins has a visit scheduled with the Pittsburgh Steelers today. Some potential quarterback depth and upside, the free agent and ex-first-round pick also recently visited with the Panthers. So Dwayne Haskins visiting with the Steelers today. And we talked about in the show, you know, quarterbacks maybe being given up on too soon. Obviously, a little bit different situation with Dwayne Haskins here, but I'm very interested to see how he's viewed league-wide, given the way things went for him in Washington.
Well, that's about right. You know, a solid backup job. You know, work hard, prove yourself. And I'll tell you what, that backup job, you could be on the field pretty quickly. So, you know, he certainly, I think, has demonstrated enough. And I understand he's made mistakes, but he's demonstrated enough that you don't, this is one of the great example of a young quarterback you don't give up on yet. I mean, people are giving up really quickly on guys. I think Haskins, you know, his story, a lot of it still yet to be written.
I think so, too, and it's going to be interesting to see. As you mentioned, I mean, that Steelers job, if you're going in as the backup quarterback, Ben looked rough at the end of the year. Like, it's still early. Do you think there's any chance Roethlisberger retires this offseason?
I mean, it seems like all the things you've heard and read, it's trending toward no. But you know what? I think that's a good question right now. I'm not having a shock face if it does happen. It seems like he wants to give it one more go.
It does seem that way. Just thinking about Breeze being out now, allegedly. I mean, Breeze apparently has not made that decision, quote unquote, yet, but we'll see. Phillip Rivers is out the door, right. And now you could have Roethlisberger maybe in that mix as well. Who knows?
Did you see Drew Breeze's wife's Instagram post?
No.
Describing everything that Breeze played through this year? He had a torn rotator cuff. He broke 11 ribs.
No, we knew about the ribs.
Right. Played with a torn rotator cuff.
Well, that would be why you can't throw the ball down the field if that's on his throwing shoulder.
Probably.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah. I mean, it was obviously a really tough season for him, a heck of a way to go out. But I don't think anybody will ever question his toughness and what he's brought to the game. So great stuff from Drew Brees. If this is it. Obviously one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and we'll see what happens with Ben Roethlisberger along the way as well. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.